be.
As they were saying.
You all received a copy of the agenda. Any corrections, additions, or corrections to the agenda?
There are no introductions, that's all.
No introductions. Okay, Mr. Baker, our county administrator, is in Vermont. His son's getting married, maybe he's already married, but he'll be off this week. So we have Mr. Godwin sitting in for Mr. Baker, and we will proceed. I need a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
So moved.
I have a motion by Mr. Jones, seconded by Mr. Phillips.
Second.
To approve the amended agenda as published. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion's carried. Minutes from May the 8th. Any additions or corrections to the minutes of May the 8th?
So moved.
Trust you've all read
them.
Second. I have a motion by Mr. Jones, seconded by Mr. Phillips, to approve the minutes from May the 8th. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion's carried. Correspondence, Mr. Griffin.
We have a letter from the Delaware Envirothon. It's part of the Delaware Association of Conservation Districts, thanking council for a donation to their Envirothon event and sending you a certificate of appreciation. And that's all the correspondence, unless somebody has something else they'd like to send down to be read.
Any correspondence from the other council? Being none, we would like to welcome Sussex Tech, the girls' softball team tonight, and I will ask Susie Webb to read the proclamation, and then we'll see if we can get 3 votes to approve it.
Okay.
Who's the coach?
As I sit in for Mr. Baker tonight, I'm excited because really pleased and proud to introduce an exceptional group of young ladies. Sussex Tech beat their rivals Sussex Central 3-2 in the state softball championship semifinal game. Sussex Tech went on to win the state softball championship against Carvel 6-0. Eric Swanson is a coach for Sussex Tech, and Bill Akach is the coach for Sussex Central, and he happens to also be here tonight on the agenda, so we want to honor him also. I know both teams work very hard. I do have a proclamation congratulating the Sussex Tech Lady Ravens on winning the 2007 State Softball Championship. Whereas on Saturday, June 2nd, 2007, the Sussex Tech Lady Ravens defeated top-seeded Carvel 6-0 to win the 2007 State Softball Championship. And whereas the State Softball Championship was the first for the Sussex Tech Lady Ravens and was the second state championship for any sports team in the school's history. And whereas the Lady Ravens' first 5 batters got on base during the first inning and scored 3 runs, and in the bottom of the 4th inning, the Lady Ravens scored 3 more runs. And whereas the Lady Ravens finished with 11 hits, including at least one by every batter. And whereas the Lady Ravens dominated the game both offensively and defensively. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Sussex County Council recognizes the Lady Ravens team members, Hope Cornell. You can stand if you'd like to, girls.
Go ahead, stand.
Go ahead, you deserve it. Brittany Joseph, Kim Owens, Heather Freck, Lindsay Dans, Megan Lathberry, Lauren Smith, Jenna Allen, Melissa Trout, Lauren Joseph, Sadie Jones, Melanie Thompson, Rhonda Warrington, and Brooke Tull. And be it further resolved that the Sussex County Council congratulates the Sussex Tech Lady Ravens and the students and fans of Sussex Tech High School on their outstanding sportsmanship and on winning the 2007 State Softball Championship. Good job.
I need a motion to adopt the proclamation.
Second.
I have a motion, Mr. Phillips, second, Mr. Jones, to adopt the proclamation. Just Reverend Mrs. Webb, any question? Being now, Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion is carried. If you ladies and your coach would like to come forward.
Love the black and white.
Oh, we got the sheriff.
Yeah, it's Eric Swamp.
Bill, you don't want to make any comments. Bill, you don't want to make comments, do you?
My wife told me I couldn't. I like to go forward and present it.
That's right. He's got a shot. Don't worry.
Only five girls. The first five.
Excellent.
Leading off.
Yeah.
They got the first five hits.
I'm saying.
Ricky, you were one of the first five. Where's
the
other?
Rhonda's working. Rhonda's working.
Kim.
Hope.
Brooke.
Is that
Kim and Brooke?
Mm. Great. On behalf of the County Council, we want to congratulate you ladies and proud of you for your accomplishments. Even though you took it away from Mr. Cates, our employee of the county here. But he's a good sport, he's a good loser, and you couldn't beat nobody better than him. Coach, would you either one like to say something?
I'm going to let the sheriff speak for us today.
One of our captains.
Around and face the camera. You two need to get in here, too. Then you can talk.
Then you can talk.
How's my hair? How's my hair? When I'm always a girl first, then a sports player.
Okay.
Well, I'll
present that to you.
Being the nice guy that I am, I will defer to our head coach, John Marvel.
That was a good move, Eric.
The sheriff isn't supposed to pass the buck like that, is he?
No, he's supposed to step up.
Coach, step up.
On behalf of the girls, I'd like to thank the county council and the school for being so generous and kind to take time out to recognize them. They certainly put in a lot of hard work. What they did didn't come easy and it didn't come cheap. As Bill knows, his program is a very hard-working program, and they invested a lot of their time, heart, and sacrificed a lot in order to achieve this. And I think one of the valuable lessons that they learned is that if you'll commit yourself to something totally and come together as a team, you can achieve something.
That's
Amen?
Right.
Yes.
I'm a firm believer in software.
Now, I got one, if you will be so kind, I'll have Hope Cornell just say a little something for the team. Come on around here, Hope. Now, she's from Clarksville.
Clarksville?
Yes.
We're going to hold that against
her. Don't get too many people from Clarksville. Hope is from Clarksville. Just say a little something for the team. If you would.
Well, way to be put on the spot, yeah. Basically, this was just a long time coming. We've worked really hard. I know I've worked and the other seniors worked hard for 4 years, and everybody comes to practice all the time, and everybody sacrifices basically their life.
Four seniors? Okay.
Yeah, we have four seniors. And we had gotten beat by Caravelle the past 7 times we played them, and 3 of those being in the semifinal round of the state tournament, and it was just sweet to beat them once and beat them for the state championship. So, you know, team lives when you abandon yourself. I got in there. And, you know, we definitely live by that this year, so we're happy.
Excellent.
To
good job.
Yes, very good.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Administrator's report.
I have the administrator's report. Prepared by David. Hebron Bay Development. The county is reviewing applicable regulations and options relative to easement and buffers for the Hebron Bay Development. We will soon update the council regarding this matter. On a legislative update, the realty transfer tax related proposals. House substitute number 1 for House Bill number 111. Attached a copy of House Bill number 1 for House Bill number 11 as introduced by Representative Ennis. As per the synopsis of the bill, the realty transfer tax for any new major subdivisions would revert to the state of Delaware if the major subdivisions are located in non-growth or level 4 areas. The effect of this bill would be a decrease in the county's portion of realty transfer tax annually. House substitute number 2 for House Bill number 111. Attached is a copy of a proposed bill to change the allocation of realty transfer tax only for new major subdivisions in non-growth or level 4 areas when the density approved by a county government exceeds that which was allocated in the certified comp plan. House Bill number 186. This bill would not affect realty transfer tax, but would prevent county and local governments from permitting major new subdivisions that are outside growth zones or within level 4 areas. Attached is a copy of that bill also. Mr. Godwin and Mr. Baker will be watching these bills closely as they can have a major effect on Sussex County government. And Hal, I think, believe, has a legislative update along these same lines.
Yeah. Mr. President, members of council, I can tell you that to help clear the air some for you on House Bill 111, there have been three versions. The first version, as you are all familiar with, took away all transfer taxes in level four areas. The substitute one, which was introduced by Representative Ennis, reduced it down to just major subdivision approvals. There had been a lot of dialogue back and forth between David, myself, Representative Ennis, and other folks in the House of Representatives about this measure and the concern, and we had some discussions about the effect of the transfer tax loss to us. Representative Ennis asked us to help him draft a replacement bill. Last week, Mr. Baker and I believe Mr. Griffin did that. They put their heads together and they drew up substitute number two for House Bill 111. House substitute number two was drafted by us. It was sent Friday up to Mr. Ennis, and I spoke with him yesterday and again personally face to face today. And today he raised some more issues of concern that our substitute bill didn't address, which he had not mentioned earlier. I think probably part of the confusion is that comes from the fact that Mr. Ennis might not be as astute on these land use issues as some of us are, and therefore he's assembling his issue as he develops the bill. So the point that I want to make is that House Bill 111 now has its second substitute offered, which will be considered by the committee that it has been assigned to, which is the Land Use and Infrastructure Committee, next Wednesday, the 20th, and it will be discussed along with House Bill 186. Let me give you a little bit of history about 186. House Bill 186 is very short, very simple. It simply says that the county cannot approve any subdivisions in level four, period. Not only does it take away the opportunities for transfer taxes, but it takes away your authority to make land use decisions in level four. I'm not very optimistic about that bill's chances. I don't think that bill will go very far, but the fact is it was generated by Kent County Levy Court. One member of their levy court initiated this bill and had it introduced supposedly as a replacement for House Bill 111. So all of these bills are going to be dealt with together in committee next Wednesday, the 20th, and I will be certain to be there because it's very important that we have our voice heard in this process. I'm going to take Ms. Webb with me and probably someone from engineering, hopefully Michael Izzo, to explain how this could affect us. To bring you up to speed on some other legislation that I've been following carefully, I can tell you that House Bill 30, which is the Stop the Spray bill that was introduced early in the session, has remained on the ready list, the House ready list, ever since, I'm going to say, early April. I'm watching it carefully. It's not come off the ready list yet, but I was told today by a passerby in Ledge Hall that it's probably going to be dealt with next week. So I'm watching this week or next week. I'm watching it very carefully. If it comes off the ready list and onto an agenda, again, I'll get Susie Webb and Mike Izzo to go with me to combat that bill because that bill has a direct effect on our ability to spray on state-owned lands. I do understand, however, that the Delaware Conservancy has endorsed two of our amendments to House Bill 30. There are two amendments offered that we absolutely have to have to stay in the sewer business at the Wolf Neck plant. Amendment number 2 and 3 would grandfather in our current spray at Wolf Neck and allow us to negotiate for additional spray area in the same waste treatment district in the same area. So with the Delaware Conservancy supporting those two amendments, that is help for us, at least for our position on House Bill 30. House Bill 77, which has, I don't think it has much impact on us. It has more interest from SCAT. The local towns are very concerned about that one. So basically I'm watching about 8 bills right now. Some have a very immediate impact on us, and others don't. But House Bill 111 and 186 is our primary focus for the next week or so.
15 more days, all we gotta wait.
Yep.
Yep.
Quite honestly, it appears, if I had to give you a candid analysis, I would say that it does appear like there's somewhat of a logjam in Ledge Hall because they've been delayed so much with other matters early in the season, and now they've got these issues, plus they have a myriad of budgetary issues that they haven't seemed to be able to digest. So I really am not that fearful that they're going to be able to do that much damage to us this year because they don't have time.
Okay. Thank you. How about your water source protection program?
Well, we have a local law enforcement grant to look at first.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. This evening, we have a request for disbursement from the town of Lewis for $6,009.21, which will finish up their $25,000 annual municipal police support grant. They're requesting these dollars to be spent on portable radios, security camera system, and et cetera. This will finish up their $25,000 grant, sir.
In motion. You want a motion now?
Got a motion?
No, I don't. Sorry.
All right.
I did not drop a motion for you, but
it's a budgeted item.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Do it.
We do motions.
I make a motion. We allow Lewis to get the remainder of their funding for their law enforcement grant.
Second. I have a motion, Mr. Rogers, second, Mr. Phillips, to grant the additional money for the law enforcement to City of Lewis, $6,090.20. I believe is the amount. Any questions? Being none, Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion's carried.
Okay, Mr. President, members of council, back to the issue of source water protection. As you all know, over a year ago, this council appointed a Citizens and Technical Advisory Committee to develop a proposed ordinance to deal with the state law requirement that requires the county to offer a source water protection plan. The committee had their first meeting in April of 06, and I believe we've met about 12 times. This committee has worked very hard on what they felt was applicable and what was right, and they have a draft ordinance ready for your consideration. We did not put it into draft ordinance form based on Mr. Griffin's recommendation. He thought that we should let you take a look at it and take a look at the comments from DENREC and then offer some direction as to have him draw up an official ordinance for you or not. So we have in the audience this evening a few members of this volunteer citizens and technical advisory committee, as well as our technical expert from Duffield Associates, Nick DePasquale, and we also have some support here from DENREC to answer questions or make comments if you'd like about the comments that they offered on our draft of this ordinance. So we've put this issue on the agenda this evening for your discussion and your direction.
Okay.
Question, gentlemen.
Basically, what's being given to you is the committee's report. You appointed this committee to develop some alternatives and possible wording for an ordinance. But I think the thought is that you should go through that, decide if this is the ordinance you want to introduce before it's put in final form and published as an ordinance up to public hearing.
Well,
but the persons who work to put it together are here in case you have any questions.
Well, why don't they stand up and maybe, or somebody as a spokesman, give us kind of a feel of what's going on, because I'm not an expert in this field. I didn't attend any of the meetings, and I think that, you know, we ought to hear from what were the controversy. I heard there was, you know, some issues with the committee that it was hard to get consensus.
Mr. DePasquale, do you want to you want to come forward and just give us the highlights of this?
I think I gave you.
Do we have anything in writing?
Actually, I'd like to decline that invitation simply because we didn't participate in most of the meetings that went into the formulation of the ordinance, and I think it would be more appropriate for a member of the committee to
write it. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay, who's here on the committee wants to speak?
You could. You have Kevin here and...
Mr. Burdette.
Kevin's here. I don't see... I did speak with... I did speak with the chairman this afternoon. He wasn't sure he'd be able to be here. Bert Messick.
Good evening, gentlemen and ladies.
Good evening.
The Source Water Protection Committee, as an overdraft to answer Mr. Cole's earlier comment, allowed the freedom of everyone to speak their mind on the committee. And during that allowing of freedom of people to express their opinion, obviously there's differences of opinion, and at times if that seems unruly to some, that could be sitting in the outside world. However, before anything was approved or adopted by the committee, there was a majority vote, and a consensus was formed by the majority. Are everybody happy with all of the results? Well, certainly not. Am I happy with all the results? Certainly not. Do I believe it's a form of a document that is worth pressing forward? Yes, sir,
I do. Will it meet the requirements that the state has, would you propose here meet what the state wanted? Does it go that far? Is it somewhere in between, or is it?
I believe it's pretty close. There was a letter that came out from DENREC in review of it. I don't have a copy of that with me here this evening.
Yeah, DENREC has offered comments.
That, and we have DENREC here.
Exactly.
And he can stand up and correct me if I misspeak on what he has said in general. But in the overall body of it does meet the intent of what DENREC was looking for. There was a couple verbiage changes of which, when he brought them up at the last public workshop, his intent of what the verbiage was to be was correct. The exact wording that we chose was probably poor. And it's a matter of whether it's the land or the law, which one adopts which. And that is in the DENREC letter, and that can obviously be adjusted by Mr. Griffin, should you so care to adopt this ordinance. The preface is straightforward. I believe that this is a source water protection for potable water. The purpose of this ordinance is to ensure the land use activities are conducted in such a way as to minimize the impact on and reduce the risk of contamination to excellent groundwater recharge areas, wellhead protection areas, and the source for public drinking water throughout the county. The definitions of it are there. We tried to make sure that the definitions coincided with the existing public definitions on record with planning and zoning and the county council's interpretation of those. The only real one that you may have never seen before is item number 13 under the definitions, called the safe zone. And the safe zone shall be an area that shall be free of any structures which would require a controlled building permit. This area shall be maintained in a grass or natural vegetation. Vehicular traffic should be limited in this area to exclude only emergency or maintenance vehicles. And that's an area proceeding right around the well for a given distance, depending on the well, the depth, and the capacity that the well is producing. The adoption of the source water protection area maps, we have accepted those maps are being provided by the Department of Natural Resources, and that periodically those maps will be updated. And the Sussex County Department of Planning and Zoning and the Sussex County Council will have the right to accept those maps as they're updated as being something they want to continue to utilize in this ordinance. One of the things that I felt very strongly on, and so did every other committee member that I can think of right now, was that this ordinance will be on the books for a long time. The faces on the council will obviously change. We have to believe in our system that the faces on the council will be more adapt to items which change in the future than a piece of paper that was written 20 years prior. So it gives you the flexibility to say, no, we don't agree with something, or yes, we do, on the source water protection maps. Even though the state may publish them, you may have due cause, we don't know of any right now, in the future to say, hey, we don't agree with that, and we're not going to use those maps this year, or until they're re-updated or whatever it is. The excellent recharge area maps, again, you have that flexibility. Those have been provided by the Delaware Geological Survey and are to be allowed by the Sussex County Council. So again, you have provisions to approve those maps should you ever decide, or should they be updated, and you do not agree with those. The source water protection standards, basically any well that is in existence prior to the adoption of this ordinance is exempt from the conditions of this ordinance. What that basically is we were trying to accomplish is that you have many municipal, private, public potable wells that are in existence today. There is sizable investments in those well fields in many instances. And to bring an ordinance in that said all of a sudden, whoop, you can't use this well field, or if someone happened to own a piece of property next to a well field currently, to come back and say, well, we're sorry, but after this ordinance, you can't do this, this, or this on that property because of that well that's been there for 20 years, we thought was wrong. So anything, any existing well that is in the ground today in the adjoining properties are exempt from this. Section B on page 4 further breaks it down into, the gallons per day, 50,000 gallons per day. It delineates the wellhead protection area shall be delineated to the use of an appropriate groundwater flow model. Those flow models are to determine a minimum of 5 years' time of travel, traveling of water moving through the aquifer to the well. That five-year time of travel did have illustrious debates, Mr. Cole. And it was finally recognized and agreed upon by the committee that the Department of Natural Resources is providing studies presently and have completed them on potable wells of municipal and public purveyors for the five-year time of travel. Therefore, we would utilize that data, and the Department of Natural Resources, to the best of our knowledge, is continuing to generate the five-year time of travel for new wells. So that was a point that was agreed upon, that we would use that as a reference. Under B2 on page 4, again, here's the word safe zone. A safe zone of no less than 100 feet radius from the well shall be maintained. This safe zone may include buildings and access associated with the well and distribution and treatment facilities and their maintenance. No other facility structures may be located within the safe zone without the County Council or Planning and Zoning Commission approval. Again, one of the items that came into thought there, we do not want everybody and their brother building within that 100-foot radius, that's a 200-foot diameter, more or less just about an acre of ground sitting there, 3/4 of an acre. But we did want you all to have the provisions to be able to say, maybe there is some times when there's something not related to the well that should be located there. For example, if you have a park area, which is a prime area to put a well, it's a natural vegetation, everything's there, it's a nice, safe area, and somebody comes to you and says, we really would like to put up a picnic pavilion. That does require a building permit, but we think the chances of hazardous waste or waste coming off of that picnic pavilion are probably pretty slim to affect the well.
But that's a good example. You didn't list, though, the exemptions.
No, so sir, we did not.
It's kind of just open end, so anything could be an exemption some future council.
Yes, sir. It certainly could be.
Isn't that kind of open-ended? Isn't that where we get in trouble, don't you think?
No, sir, I don't. Right. I really don't, Mr. Cole.
Well, I believe it. No, I listen, as many years as I've seen you up here, I believe that.
I believe you five gentlemen are smart enough to figure out what is and what isn't in the future.
I believe you believe that.
So, I'm glad that.
It worries me, but I believe you do believe it.
Don't worry about it one bit, Mr. Cole. For a, again, under Section C, we talk about a 50,000 gallon per day well or greater, which draws water from a confined aquifer. And on this one, we have a 100-foot radius from the well that is a safe zone. For a public water supply well with a capacity of less than 50,000 gallons per day, which draws water from a confined or unconfined aquifer, the safe zone drops back to 20 feet. Now, to put it in relative terms, 50,000 gallons per day correlates out, and don't hold me right to it because I don't have my calculator right, but about 35 gallons per minute of pumpage over a 1,440-minute day gives you about 50,000 gallons. 50,000 gallons also happens to correlate with the Department of Natural Resources amount of pumpage that they look at before they require a water allocation permit. Anything less than that, they don't even require a water allocation. Anything greater than 50,000 gallons a day, they do require a water allocation. Therefore, we thought that was a good breaking point. Items that may fall into this type category of less than 50,000 gallons a day with a small well may be things such as a small restaurant or a restaurant, daycare centers, general stores that happen to sell coffee to the public. Those are all potable wells, are less than 50,000 gallons a day, most likely. Therefore, we are saying that 100-foot radius may be excessive on those type facilities, and a 20-foot radius would of a safe zone, no structures within that, is probably more realistic. Within the wellhead protection area, stormwater management oversight shall be referred to and governed by the Sussex County Conservation District. One of the points that the committee discussed again long and hard was we do not want regulations stacked upon regulations where one may be conflicting with the other. Presently, we have the Soil Conservation District that does have very specific regulations on activities which can occur, the outfall structures, the rate of outfall, contaminant sources that leave them. So why not leave that within their hands and allow them to say yes, if the structure is meeting the requirements of what the soil conservation regulations are, then it is putting a potable or acceptable safe water. Therefore, it should be able to be within that safe zone. Underground and above ground and underground storage tanks, hazardous substances. Again, we are recognizing the Department of Natural Resources constantly updates, improves their recommendations and their regulations on these items. We saw no reason, again, to try to double stack and say, well, yes, it's good enough for every place else, but it's not good enough for here. Their regulations presently don't allow contamination to come off of those sources. So therefore, we saw no reason to treat them any different than other sources that are utilized throughout the county that are acceptable within the recharge areas. We believe, again, in the Department of Natural Resources that they are monitoring and controlling stuff, that they will continually be upgrading their regulations. The technology has allowed, if you think back over the last 20 years ago, double wall tanks were a new thing in the petroleum industry. Today, double wall tanks are the standard. Double wall tanks with insulated foam in between, it absorbs the chemical, is becoming a standard, and new technology is constantly evolving, of which the department is constantly monitoring it and creating and adapting their regulations to fit. source water protection standards in the excellent groundwater recharge area. There are no requirements for this section for developing occurring, provided the impervious cover of that portion of the parcel within the excellent recharge area is 35% or less. In other words, if there is less than 35% impervious cover on the parcel of property and it's in the excellent recharge area, things can go on just like they are today. If it is greater than 35%, but no more than 60%, and this is on page 5, paragraph A2, is allowed if the applicant demonstrates through an environmental assessment report prepared by a registered professional geologist or a registered professional engineer within the state of Delaware familiar with the hydrologic characteristics of Sussex County using climatic water budgets, that post-development recharge quantities will meet or exceed the existing pre-development recharge quantities. Therefore, they've got to do whatever it takes to get, if they're between that 35 and 60, whatever it takes to get back to what it was prior to development as far as the recharge on that property. Very simplistic point of view, perhaps, but it seems to be logical that if it's a farm field today and X number of gallons infiltrate the ground, and we put 35 to 60% impervious cover, and we make them do whatever is required with the technologies that are available to get it back to where it was pre-development, that we haven't affected the natural water balance that's occurring in the recharge areas.
And from an engineering perspective, that's totally possible.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. For all new construction where the impervious area exceeds 60%, or where the levels of post-development recharge is less than the pre-development recharge, all structures shall be required to discharge roof drains into underground recharging systems or permeable surfaces that allow the discharge to infiltrate into the ground. Efforts to mitigate discharges to impervious surfaces shall count towards the formula and used to compute post-development mitigation of any discharges. Again, if you're going to go above that 60%, for whatever reason, first off, we're not going to allow any roof drains to go just willy-nilly across the ground and go wherever. We want to recapture that and utilize that water. There is a stipulation on roof drains that anything around a refrigeration unit cannot be discharged directly underground. It must be taken care of separately. And again, that's because the highest probability of contamination all from a roof drain will come from refrigeration units and mechanical equipment that's located on top of the roof. If you go on to section 6, the boundary determination for the wellhead protection areas and the excellent groundwater recharge areas, all subdivision and land development plans depicting development or land disturbance, excluding agricultural tillage, submitted by the county review shall be evaluated for the existence of these areas by scaling for distances shown on the Sussex County Water Resource Protection maps as referenced in section, and we have XXX in a previous section. When there appears to be a conflict between the map boundaries and the actual site conditions, the applicants may engage the services of a professional practitioner to set forth in this section to prepare a report intended to determine more accurately the precise boundaries of the water source protection areas, which report shall be submitted to the county with detailed findings necessary to indicate the location of the boundaries. In essence, what we've done is give people an appeal process if they don't agree with the maps that are being published for the excellent recharge areas. I don't know how, if the councilmen have had the fortune of seeing the maps, but you're on a relatively large scale, and the thickness of the line on the maps determining these areas is probably somewhere in the range of 700 feet wide, 800 feet wide. So it's very possible that somebody could be right on that line and say, wait a minute, we need to refine it a little bit. This gives them that ability to do that. Non-conforming uses may continue in source water protection areas in the form of which they existed at the time of the adoption of this article. As those non-conforming uses go away, they won't be allowed to be replaced. Any non-conforming building structure or part thereof shall be erected, converted, constructed, enlarged by more than 10%, or moved, and no land shall be changed unless in conformity with the requirements set forth in this article. So we've specified the non-conforming uses so they can't be, in essence, gradually enlarged, maximum of 10% enlargement. If they ever quit the use that they're presently at, then they can't go back. Source Water Protection Technical Advisory Committee, in lieu of setting up a whole new group of committees that you all must appoint every year, we thought it was perhaps prudent to take the Technical Advisory Committee to the Planning and Zoning Commission, which presently exists, and add to that commission, add to that committee, one additional member is appointed by each Sussex County member for a 2-year term to provide oversight and technical assistance to the Sussex Water Protection Ordinance. So you would take the existing TAC committee that you all have had for numerous years, and then each one of you would assign one additional person to that committee to as well hear source water protection issues. A request for variance are included in the last section of the ordinance, and any request for a variance from this requirement of this article shall be conducted in accordance with the provisions of Chapter 115, Article 27. So in a nutshell, that's kind of what the ordinance is. It intentionally was, we started out very elaborate. We came back to too simplistic, and I think we came back into the middle of something that seemed to be both workable and fair and protected the groundwater in Sussex County and the property rights of the people in Sussex County.
So it's the opinion of both the state and your committee, state being DENREC, that this ordinance will protect our resource areas, our groundwater. Is it the opinion of, can DENREC?
You would have to ask DENREC on that.
Could one of those guys speak to
neighbor?
Somebody on DENREC? Well, is there the DENREC official?
He's on the committee too.
Hey, Kevin. Kevin.
Let's have the.
Let me ask Kevin a question
first.
If I could.
You get talking.
Questions, Mr. Burdett, before he sits down.
If we, the county attorney drafts something up, do you think the committee members would take the time to look over it before it's actually introduced and maybe channel any remarks back?
I think the committee members very much would like to look at it after Mr. Griffin had a chance to put all the legalese and legal owls on it.
Okay.
To make sure that the general intent of it had not been changed. Yes, I think every one of them that I can think of would definitely like to take a look at it.
Okay.
Kevin, I got just one question. In your opinion, do you think we meet I haven't seen a state law which says, you know, I know some of the things. Do you think this ordinance meets the intent of the what we're supposed to do?
I believe there are a few changes that will probably be requested.
I got the letter from Demrick.
Demrick.
Yeah.
I believe there are a few changes that are going to be requested. I think those changes are well under, should be well considered. In general, I believe that this does meet the intent of the state law. Do I believe it will make some of the state lawmakers happy? No, sir, I do not.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions, Mr. Burdett? Okay, thank you. Yes, sir.
Mr. President, could I interject something?
Yes.
I would like to say that I don't know if we mentioned in the very beginning, but this whole source water protection effort is for, it's only for public drinking wells.
Right.
It would not put any land use regulations whatsoever on private wells like you would have for your home. It's only for larger public service drinking wells. And the whole movement here is required by state law that we adopt some kind of an ordinance this year that will be laid into our comprehensive land use plan that will offer, it just says some regulations. So as credit to the committee, I want to say that they did receive comments from Denrec once several months ago, and they reacted to that in a fashion that showed responsibility and that they tried to make some adjustments to their first draft to accommodate Denrec's comments. And then in that work, what we have here incorporates their addressing those concerns, and then Denrec has made yet another list of comments, which you would expect. But I wanted you to know that there's already been some blending back and forth.
Okay, Mabel, let's have you first, then we'll ask the gentleman from Denrec.
I don't know whether this has been given to you or not, but I did put in a minority report.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
And I believe that the proposed ordinance as it has been presented to you is flawed and that it needs some very real work. And I do know that Denrec, both the source water assessment division as well as other members of Denrec, are most willing to help with this. But I would ask you, please, to look at the purpose that is set forth in the ordinance, and from that, make your judgments in terms of what the ordinance is saying. And in particular, when it exempts the current public wellheads, I believe this is very dangerous. I think our current public wellheads need the kind of protection, however possible, legally possible, so that they are protected as well as any future public wellheads. And this includes many of our towns that have their wells totally outside their boundaries and therefore need to know that they are going to be able to work with the county and have that kind of protection that's needed. Further, there is some very real, I think, concern that needs to be looked at in terms of what is allowed for impervious surface, because there is some very good material that needs to be considered and looked at that says anything over 20% begins to immediately decrease the potential for flow to the aquifer. And I think this has to be taken into consideration. And also, certainly, augmentation or alternatives are allowed, but they must have some kind of oversight, because down the road, if that system that has been developed is not properly maintained, you have nothing in terms of protection. Also, the regard with wastewater treatment plants shall be allowed does not take into consideration the purpose clause, which is what is good land use in relationship to protecting our water quality. And with regard to the technical committee, we must have qualified people who are considering if this is a situation that has to be looked at in terms of a site plan. That needs to be considered in concert with the technical advisory committee so that an applicant is not held up with something that comes in at a later date. So I say to you, I must respectfully say that I believe that the ordinance needs quite a bit of work. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else on the committee want to speak before the general for Denerec? Okay, come on down. I'm sorry, we got one more committee member, then I'm going to ask you to speak. I take for granted then the committee was not unanimous on the results, so.
My name is Dan.
But you did hammer out a majority.
It actually, I'll tell you what, I do believe it pretty well passed by the majority. Are we all agree on every issue? The answer is no. There were some votes against certain issues. But as far as an overall, are there problems yet? Yeah. The only thing that I would suggest when their attorney looks at this thing, I know he's going to have to do some research to make sure of what we put in there correlates to the law. But at the same token, I would suggest then what Phillips here just said about it coming back to the committee to make sure of what our intent was. Now, if he can say, if he can show in the law that we didn't follow the law, that's one thing. I have no objection to. But everything we worked on, we looked at the law. And as far as recharging and having septic tanks and water resource areas, why wouldn't you want to recharge that area? That's how, because if you don't, you're doing the same thing you are now with central sewage. You're pumping it from point A and to point B and not recharging your land. And by the way, this maps are only about, what, 8% or so of the county? So you want to recharge it. Why wouldn't you put septic tanks there? They're allowed today, so they ought to be allowed in the future. Thank you.
Okay, no other committee members? Yes, sir. Jonathan Denerec.
Thank you. My name is John Barn. I'm a program manager at Denerec, and I'm representing Kevin Donnelly, who's at the Nutrient Management Commission meeting this evening. He couldn't be here. We did prepare some maps for the committee members, if you'd like me to present them, just to give you a general, a better idea of the land areas that you're talking about. So I'll give those to Mr. Godwin to distribute.
Thanks. Thanks, John.
We attended most of the meetings that the committee had. It was an interesting process, and it was interesting to see how these things get formulated. The state law that you talked about isn't very prescriptive. It basically asks that the counties and the large municipalities develop some sort of protection measures for their wellhead areas and their excellent groundwater recharge areas. The maps that I handed out show where those are at. In general, we felt that the intent of the ordinance, as far as what it was intending to do and what it describes at the beginning, was in keeping with the state law. There were probably three basic aspects that we thought maybe didn't meet the state law or that should be massaged some. The first was safe zones were a good idea, but they seemed to ignore the rest of the wellhead area as far as impervious cover limits go. So we felt that the same impervious cover limits that were adopted by the committee for the recharge areas, which cover about 8% of the county, certainly should be incorporated into the wellhead areas, which are about 1.5% of the county. We also felt that there were some areas that need to be looked at as far as adjustments to the maps, where you're starting to get into the practice of geology, and there's a state law about who's qualified to do that, to make certain adjustments. We just wanted to make sure that the county looked at that language and perhaps talked to the Professional Geology Board about that a little more, just to make sure it was in keeping with the state law. On the other issue, where there seemed to be an exemption for all wells that were prior to the adoption of the ordinance, we weren't quite sure what that meant. Generally, in other counties, what we've seen is that the land uses that are occurring within those wellhead areas are grandfathered in, and that any new requirements that are adopted occur, the changes that occurred after the adoption of the ordinance. So we weren't quite sure what that, the language wasn't very precise, so we thought perhaps you want to look at tightening that up a bit. Those are our basic comments. You have the letter from Kevin Donnelly that talks about these comments in a little more specifics.
So do you agree that this, what we have in front of us, does protect resource area?
We feel that with these changes, particularly to the wellhead areas where we don't think there is a lot of protection outside of these safe zones, in general, there are a lot of existing state authorities, such as the underground tank law, the solid waste law. There are other laws that address protection of wellhead areas and some that protect recharge areas that we're going to enforce at this at the state level in all three counties. But as far as impervious cover, or if you wanted to go beyond what the limits are, the limited state requirements are, you know, we felt that that was the area probably where the county was going to want to focus its protection measures. So does it go far enough? They're certainly not going to go far enough to satisfy everybody. We'd probably fall somewhere in the middle, trying to be reasonable.
Okay. Thank you
very much. Thank you.
Questions, Mr. Jones?
No, that's okay. I got just one. The letter from Kevin, okay? Does he, everything you said he had, is addressed here in his letter?
I summarized some of the bullets
that seemed to address similar
matters.
Six or eight things that...
Yeah, there were a couple of things that dealt with the, like, professional geology issue. There were three or four areas that and I was just trying to summarize for you so I don't take up a lot of your time. But that I think that summarized most of what we said as far as specific to the ordinance.
I feel very strongly that we need to respect this committee's intent when it's written. And if there are changes to be made, they can be considered at the public hearing. But with respect to the drafting of the ordinance, I think the committee has put in a tremendous amount of time. They should be complimented. And we should strive very hard to capture their intent in the drafting of this ordinance, and then we'll go from there.
Were you at the public hearing, sir, when they had the public the workshop? Did you come there?
Yes, sir.
Did you submit comments then?
We gave a PowerPoint presentation, summarized our comments, and
Is that
provided.
The letter, Hal?
Yeah, I've had comments from John all through this. He sent me actually written comments in mid-April, and some of his suggestions there have been incorporated in the ordinance in later work. So as I said, there's already been a little bit of DENREC influence in the draft that you have from the committee, while their final comments are sort of an overall appraisal of the finished product.
Okay, I would ask you to stay in the loop, and I'm sure with the committee, they want to do the right thing for the residents of Sussex County. We do too. So it's going to be a matter of compromising and trying to work out the things we don't agree on. But I would ask that you and Mr. DePasquale and stay in there, and we'll get this thing approved.
Certainly happy to do that.
Good. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Mr. Stewart.
Jim, will you take... You're going to write up an ordinance now?
Well, the question was asked whether I would write up an ordinance, and I think it should be clear from the number of comments and the number of suggestions and the diverging points of view that I would be, at this point,
hard pressed
without you reviewing what the committee's come up with and telling me, are there some points here that you agree with, some that you don't agree with, at least giving me your comments.
Where are these diverging opinions? Just what we've heard
tonight?
Well,
we've heard that some people are suggesting that different things be built in that aren't built in. So what I think would be helpful, since this is a committee report, is that you accept it as a committee report. But, you know, before you have me start to take pen to paper, unless I'm going to just put down exactly what they have as the proposed ordinance, it would be helpful to have some input from you gentlemen before I start doing that.
And I guess what I tried to convey, maybe a little too
delicately. I understood what you said. Yes, sir. You basically want to you were suggesting that the ordinance pretty much follow what the committee report is.
Correct.
Yeah.
And we can massage it at the point of public hearing and public debate.
Well, let me make a comment.
They have put in a tremendous.
They have. You're right.
And that committee was.
It depends. We may, depending on how broad the title is, you know, right. if we come up with changes during the hearing that are not embraced within the title, we might have to go back to more public hearings.
Don't forget one thing, and I understand your ambition and support it. However, we also have to remember that our final draft, whatever it is you gentlemen vote on and adopt, has to also pass scrutiny from DENREC as part of our comprehensive plan at the end of this year. So we can't.
I'm not going to put these personally. I would not want us to put these committee members through what they've been, only then to receive the report and start deferring to DENREC. I mean,
they're going to get the deferral eventually.
Well, that's fine. But this committee has put in.
No
so
doubt about.
Time.
No
and
doubt
they
about that.
They weren't on the county's payroll like you were.
No doubt about that.
And,
no doubt
and
about
they
that.
Have they have come to a consensus. I mean, certainly, at least one member of the committee isn't totally happy. But when you consider the chaos that was reigning over that committee at the beginning, and how here at the end of this very long process there is a general consensus.
I couldn't agree more.
I think we owe it to them to draft the ordinance per their recommendation.
I think we owe it to everybody to get it right. I mean, right. That's nice that people put in a lot of time, and we appreciate it, folks. There's no disrespect, but we've got to make sure we did it right. We're part of the process, and I think now we take the next step advance. I know we, you know, what you're trying to do, but I think it's I no sense rushing into this, and let's. We should have an afternoon maybe and dedicate an hour and a half or 2 hours to going through this thing and getting it so we can give Jim something to get it done one time.
Huh? Slow morning, no afternoons. Slow morning. What's your pleasure, General?
I mean, I
do what the attorney said. Just let him continue. You want
to get something?
He didn't say that.
You need a motion.
No, he said he's not ready for him yet.
Oh, I know that. I agree with him.
You want to have a workshop?
I think if we do it, we certainly have to support the committee, and that we also, if we're going to do it, though, we need to do it like now. You know, if we're going to do it, put it on the agenda for next week and keep moving.
I think next week's a little soon. I mean, we just got this tonight.
Not really.
Unless you all want to go
the
through
committee's
this.
The committee's the guy that council's had it for two
budget
or three weeks.
Budget next week.
You got the budget next week.
Get the budget next week.
So, I mean,
that's a yay or nay.
Well, we don't have anything next.
We got to what the end of the year?
No, it's got to be in the land use plan, Mr.
Which is at the end of the year?
No, it's not.
Well,
October.
If you get it done in October,
we don't have anything next Tuesday afternoon.
Correct.
So, sure, I'm up for a workshop next Tuesday afternoon. But personally, if I had my druthers, again, we draft this per the recommendation. We look at the ordinance. Prior to introduction of any ordinance, we have an opportunity to consider aspects of it and change it.
We're just wasting staff time. Come on, we've already had a consensus to workshop. Let's have the workshop, Vance, and then we'll start working on that.
Robin can tell you. I don't know if she is.
Is the agenda posted for next week?
No, not yet.
Will be when?
Tomorrow.
Tonight. Tonight.
It at least ought to be. Make it 2 weeks. It ought to be two weeks, gentlemen. 2 weeks. I'll make a motion.
If you look at the agenda, George, 2 weeks you're not here.
Well, then
maybe
that's
why you won that, huh? Is that right?
I didn't have a calendar in front of me, Mr. Jones, but I'm glad you know when we're off.
I just want to make sure you didn't show up.
I know
you've
got all your days off checked off on your calendar.
But I should go over and check to see if there's public hearings that afternoon. I'm not sure.
Okay, we can discuss that.
Right. I think the consensus is to have a public hearing, or have a workshop. And let's do it, and let's schedule it at a timely fashion. But it doesn't have to be next week.
It
seems a little
one
rushed.
Of the next 2 weeks, and because then we don't meet for 2 weeks. We do not meet the first 2 weeks of July.
Right.
Then have the third week in July. We have the workshop that afternoon, even if it's after public hearing.
The third week in July is a night meeting, Mr. Cole.
That's fine.
I thought it was the second week every month.
They've been short.
We've changed it because we didn't have the first two.
They've been short, so we can have it at night.
July 17th.
You guys keep changing things.
There are elements in here. If you think the restrictions are just going to get tighter, Mr. Cole, there are elements in here.
I'd like to get it right.
That folks could come out in strong objection to, and this whole thing could collapse in chaos. And I just think we have got a document that has been vetted by a committee that had dedicated a lot of time, put it in ordinance form, and have a public hearing.
No doubt.
That's what public hearings are for, to consider these points of view.
Let's get a consensus, Mr. Dukes, and just try to move on. We're just sitting here spinning our wheels, sir.
Oh, we got the 19th or 26th, either one, before we go on break.
Well, I think I've heard from Mr. Cole, Mr. Phillips, Mr. Rogers.
Where do you want to do it? If she got the short afternoon or that evening, it don't matter to me.
Okay.
Ms. Robin will be back. We'll keep moving.
I know what Mr. Phillips is saying. I hear what he's saying, and I sort of think we need to. We got to have something to start with, for us to hold a workshop and open it up without having a document to start with. We've sort of starting where the committee started all over again.
Well, we got the report.
Why not accept the committee's report and say this is what it is now? What amendments do we need to make to it? You know, we got to start from somewhere. We just don't want to start and reinvent the wheel all over again.
Right. I'm not ready for him to go, our staff to spend writing an ordinance.
No.
I mean, that's extreme. So, I mean, I don't care what we do, but I think we need to have a workshop and look at this committee report. That's the document, I would
say. Mr. President, can I make a suggestion? Perhaps it would be productive if we took the draft that you have and just go through Denrec's last letter of comment from Kevin Donnelly and see where we feel we could incorporate some of the things that they say we need, whether or not to incorporate them,
right,
and then bring them back in ordinance form for you to consider. My only concern is that if we, what I don't want to do is I don't want to trip the switch on the comp plan by putting in an ordinance that won't get past Denrec. So, I mean, that is...
If it doesn't get passed, then, right, it can come back and we can reconsider.
Okay.
I think we're just going way overboard trying to figure out Denrec's intent. I mean, we do what's right for Sussex County. We're elected. Denrec's not elected by Sussex County.
No, but they have some expertise in this area.
And well,
so,
called
so
the
you
environment.
Disagree with them, and then you don't think they're very much of an expert.
Uh-huh. Well, give me an opportunity to disagree. I wouldn't mind the workshop. So is there a workshop or not? Somebody make a move here, guys. Come on. Do something, Dale.
Okay. Finley, second this motion. Robin,
what kind of days we got?
Well,
where you want, right?
But you said that's too soon. The following week, you have a luncheon with the Sussex County Association of Realtors for a land use survey report.
Well, just cancel that. There's nothing happening in real estate.
And then... Well, it has to do with the land use plan.
You'll go because you want to feed.
So you could come back after that.
Yeah, let's do that.
When's that, the 19th?
With a full belly.
26th.
26th of June.
Is the 19th the budget?
We get the next. We can't do it.
The 19th's the public hearing for the budget. There's nothing after the budget next week.
There isn't?
The afternoon's free.
Next week?
No. So the 19th.
That would take the pressure off everybody. What do you think, Dave?
The 26th is a luncheon, and then we have nothing in that afternoon, right?
That's correct.
We'll do it after the luncheon. We come back after the luncheon.
All right, is this a workshop just for the council?
Yes.
So we're not taking public input?
No.
Okay.
We had public
After the luncheon with the realtors.
The luncheon, it's for council discussion only. We're not taking input from the public.
Shouldn't a committee be there?
Well,
it would be a public meeting, of course.
Public meeting.
It
would
be a public meeting, but we're not taking public input.
No, but the committee doesn't, Dale. The committee and DNREC are not considered a public. They would be part of. It would be nice to have a representative from those groups.
Where was come?
And the committee could come in total, but we need to have them there.
You've paid for technical advice. Do you want your technical advice there?
Yeah, we have to have that because we're not. We don't understand. We're not the experts in this field. We have to have.
If you open up to Denrec and them, you're open up to public hearing.
That's a committee. Committee's part of the
No, it's still.
Can we do that, Mr. Griffin?
Well, you're not holding a public hearing unless you introduce an ordinance. But if you hold a meeting, the discussion is going to be public, so members of the public will be here and they can they will know what's being discussed.
Sure. But we can interact with the committee and DNREC all we want.
Interact with anyone you
Thank
want.
Thank you. Right, let's have the meeting after lunch.
Next week.
Make a decision.
2 weeks.
So we're having asking Denrek and the committee to be here?
My mother moves faster than this.
I would suggest that you have your committee, you invite your committee, the technical expert you've paid for, and Denrek to be here to help guide us through putting this together.
What time are you going to do it?
Well, that's up to you.
Oh, we don't know. We don't know how long this lunch is going to last for the realtors.
Do it next week.
Say 2 o'clock.
I would say 2 o'clock.
Yeah, you can't eat all afternoon. I mean, I guess you could.
All right, 2 o'clock, Robin. Let's go.
26th.
Sorry about that, Mr. Stewart. One thing,
he
Kevin,
gave up hope.
Will you notify the committee and them that want to be here?
Yes. We'll do that.
And
we'll
that.
Did you decide on the 19th or 26th?
19th.
19th,
next Tuesday afternoon.
Really?
No.
Dale, it's the 26th.
26th after the realty luncheon.
About the realty luncheon next Tuesday. 26th. No, we'll leave, let's eat both weeks.
26th.
Okay. I'm sorry. 26th. Scratch it.
We're having lunch each 26th. Every week. 26th.
Thank you, sir.
2 o'clock, approximately.
Okay, you got plenty of time to post, Robin.
Doug,
it should be
don't
easy.
You cause no trouble.
It should be easy. Don't ask for a workshop.
I'm here to report upon bids received on May 31st and to recommend award for County Project 04-04, which is Dagsville Frankfort Sanitary Sewer District, Delaware Avenue Extended Electric Sewer. That's located in Frankfort and Dagsville 100. This project comprises the extension of an existing county sewer in Delaware Avenue to provide sanitary sewer service to 15 residential parcels. On Delaware Avenue that's south of the railroad, most of which have had substandard or failing on-site sewage treatment or septic systems. Majority of these property owners petitioned the county for central sewer service in 2001. Following a public hearing, the county resolved to and did expand the sanitary sewer district to include this area. This project will provide the needed sewer service and be funded by USDA Rural Development and the county.
Exactly.
We each have a copy of the bid summary, and the base bid includes approximately 1,000 feet of 8-inch gravity sewer and 500 feet of 2-inch force main crosses the railroad. The alternative bid includes everything under the base bid plus a separate bid item for upgrading the undisturbed Delaware Avenue pavement from the end of this project, approximately 2,300 feet out to US Route 13. The Delaware Department of Transportation requested that the county undertake this upgrade work for which DelDOT will directly reimburse the county. As you can see on the bid summary sheets, this project generated sufficient interest to attract 10 bidders. The lowest bidder, Bunting and Murray Construction Corporation, submitted a base bid and alternative bid of $268,851.57 and $313,887.57 respectively, approximately 6 and 9% below the engineer's estimate for those bids respectively. Included in the alternative bid is the item C1 bid amount for the pavement upgrade, and that's $45,036. That's included in the alternative bid price. DelDOT is,
No, go ahead, that's a good thing.
DelDOT has affirmed that it will execute with the county an agreement to directly pay that amount to the county for that work. The other bids received exceeded the engineer's estimate as shown on the summary sheet, so I'm not going to go through those. In addition to its favorable bids, Bunting and Murray is located in Selbyville, Delaware, near the project, and has satisfactorily completed a number of projects for the county. The engineering department therefore recommends award to this contractor on the basis of its alternative bid of $313,887.57. Any questions?
No. Any questions, Mr. Stewart? Do you have a motion?
I have a motion.
Thank you.
Be it moved, based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, that Sussex County Project Number 04-04, Dagsboro-Frankford Sanitary Sewer District, Delaware Avenue Extension, be awarded to the Bunting and Murray Construction Corporation of Selbyville, Delaware, at the alternative bid amount of $313,887.57, contingent upon receipt of approval of USDA Rural Development and the Delaware Department of Transportation.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion, Mr. Jones, second, Mr. Phillips, to approve the motion just read by Mr. Stewart regarding the Dagsboro-Frankford Sewer District Award of Contract. Any questions? Being none, Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion's carried. Thank you, Mr. Stewart. Mr. LeCates.
Good evening, gentlemen.